the Lord to help us go a little further with the thought we had this morning about spiritual growth. We can't expect to grow without nutrients. Probably won't try to revisit much of what we said this morning. We'll just try to pick up and move on. But we can't expect to grow without proper nutrition. And we need to do that with purpose. Have you ever ate just because you were troubled or agitated? You ever done that? You know, there's been times that there has been a time, I'll put it that way, in my life where it seemed like the most comforting thing you could do at the time of your distress was just to eat something. I don't know that everybody's that way, but I don't know. Sit down with maybe some Reese's peanut butter cups or something and eat too many of them, you know, just because you got a whole sack full and because something's weighing on you or troubling you or something like that. Well, you can't drown troubles with Reese's peanut butter cups much better than you can with doing something that'd make you intoxicated. It don't fix that. It don't fix that problem. But we need nutrients to grow, but we need the right kind of stuff. So I'd like to turn to Acts, the second chapter, and the 46th verse. And we know the story in the second chapter of Acts was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming down and blessing the apostles and those that were with the apostles, and how that Peter got up and preached, and the anointing of the Lord was on that service to the extent that I believe it says that there was maybe as many as 3,000 that got saved that day. Now, that'd be quite a revival service, and I don't know. I just kind of like to experience that in my life, as to have that many people that were wanting to really make a change in their life. That would make me want to say hallelujah. And so it says down here, maybe we'll start reading in verse 44. And all they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now I know that some of this is kind of mixing up the natural food and the natural responsibilities and spiritual food and spiritual responsibilities. I realize that. But I'm really interested here in the phrase that says singleness of heart. You know, that is something that is difficult to defeat, is a singleness of heart. If we are intent of in gaining something, if we are intent of in growth, you might be intent on losing weight. And if you are, there is a level of discipline that we implement. There's a purpose. There's a cause here. So singleness of heart it doesn't just mean that we have a one-track mind. You know, don't bother me. I'm going to go put the trash out, and don't distract me. I'll forget what I'm doing. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having a focused perspective or a focused agenda in life. And in Colossians, the third chapter, it has the same phrase. So I'd like to go there. Colossians, the third chapter. And Paul, different writer here, by the way. Paul is writing here. Maybe begin verse 20. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord." Singleness of heart. Use that phrase again. I didn't look the Greek up. Don't know if it used exactly the same Greek words or not when it was written. But the translators translated it in the same English words. Singleness of heart. Not being willing to deviate one way or the other. There is a focus here. There is a concentration. It says, not just doing something for appearance sake, for eye service. So if we are going to grow spiritually, it has to be more than just doing something for the sake of appearance. It needs to be the sake of really going in a direction where our understanding and our comprehension is increased. Singleness of focus, singleness of heart. There was one time I was at a work day where it was all volunteer, and we were, a number of us were working, and from my perspective, I thought things were going, just clicking along pretty good. We had you might say a rhythm, and there was things that were being accomplished, and you might say checked off the list, you know. And as we were going along, I heard this, I thought everybody had the same goal in mind. You know, we're gonna finish this, these tasks. And as we were going along there, I heard a young man say, "I'm going to quit before I get tired." And it was out of the blue, and it caught me off guard, and it was like, what did he say? And sure enough, he did. He quit working. He didn't leave the job site, but he quit working. And for the rest of the day, and I don't remember what time of day it was, but for the rest of the day that he was there, and I don't remember if he was old enough to have a driver's license where he could have left, or if he was too young to have a driver. I don't remember that part. I was just so taken aback because he didn't have a singleness of heart. A goal of achieving and accomplishing what we had set out to do, it wasn't in him. And you know, we won't grow spiritually if we don't have a continual focus that I want spiritual growth. If we're just kind of, as the expression is, willy-nilly, about our spiritual life, you know, when we feel like it, you know, I like peanut butter and crackers every once in a while. And I'd be disappointed if we didn't have peanut butter and crackers in the house. But I don't eat them every day. I don't have four crackers and a teaspoon of peanut butter every day. But if it come time where I really thought I wanted some, and there wasn't any in the cabinet, I'd ask my wife why. I just would. But I don't have a singleness of mind about peanut butter and crackers. Now, my wife's grandpa, when he was up in years, and he had a routine every night before he went to bed. He wanted a scoop of ice cream, just vanilla ice cream, about a tablespoon of ice cream, and two prunes. That's what he wanted just before he went to bed. And he had a singleness of mind about that. Don't give him one prune and don't give him three prunes. He wanted two prunes and a scoop of ice cream. I'm trying to stress tonight how important it is for us to have a singleness of mind about spiritual growth. I want to grow. I don't want to be erratic, sporadic. I don't want to approach spiritual growth like, well, I just do spiritual growth at camp meeting or a revival meeting or when a visiting minister comes by or all day meeting or something like that. I want us to approach spiritual growth as this is what my focus is. This is what my purpose is. I'm steadfast. I don't know what your routines are, and I'm not asking for you to share them, but if you got to have two prunes every evening before you go to bed, then let's be diligent about applying ourselves to getting something. I'm talking to myself, just like I'm talking to you. Let's be sure that we're applying ourselves to something that will help us grow spiritually, consistently, have a singleness of mind and a singleness of heart. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. I believe that although Peter was in the second chapter of Acts, he wasn't the writer of Acts. He wasn't the one that recorded that. So this is the third different writer in the New Testament. We've read something that Luke was most likely written, or Acts was most likely written by Luke. Colossians was most likely written by Paul. And as far as we know, the epistle of 1 Peter was written by Peter. So in 1 Peter, the second chapter, we'll begin in the first verse. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envyings, and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So as I thought of this passage of Scripture that we're going to read a few more verses here, I had to think about some of my activities recently in my own yard at my house. I told you I trimmed my bushes this morning, but that's not all I trimmed. I trimmed a rose bush. We got two redbud trees in our yard, and I trimmed that. And I trimmed some limbs out of a couple other trees in the front yard, and I had a tree kind of coming up in the middle of what's that bush down there by the driveway? A lilac. We have a lilac bush, and I trimmed it up, kind of shaped it up, and there was an oak tree coming up in the middle of it, so I reached in there and carefully cut it off and put some drugs on it so it wouldn't sprout again. And I went out to, I had a couple fruit trees that had died, and I cut those down. And I don't know, I've been doing some trimming at the house. Had some dead limbs on a pine tree and cut them off, and just kind of generally cleaned it up, and got my weed eater out and trimmed around the house and all the other stuff in my yard yesterday, and Friday evening, just trying to make things look tidier. But that's not all I did. I planted a couple dogwoods. My wife has always wanted dogwoods, and we're going to try again. So we planted a couple dogwood trees. And I'm expecting them to grow, just like I expect my bushes to grow and the other things that I trimmed. But here's the thing. I got some dead things out of the way. I got some growth cut off that was not what I wanted. And I have an intent about how I want it to grow. The bushes down by my driveway, I don't want it to look like, a bad hair day. I want it to have a shape, the shape that I want. It's my yard. It's my bushes. I want it to have the shape I want. So when I read these verses, it says, wherefore laying aside, there's some things, if we want to have spiritual growth, there's some things we got to have. We got this singleness of purpose, singleness of heart. We're focusing on it. We're directing our attention in life towards spiritual growth. And there's some things that we need to take some thought about. How is it growing? Is it growing in the right manner? Is it balanced? Trees can, if we're not careful, maybe it's the wind, maybe it's the sun, maybe it's shade or some other kind of obstruction. Trees sometimes can grow lopsided just because maybe we drive too close to them and keep branches broke off. Maybe you've got cows that eat limbs off or whatever. There's just things that impact the way a tree grows. And if we want it to have an attractive shape, then we have to take some thought. There may be some good limbs that we cut off. He says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. Can you grow spiritually and keep those things in your life? No, I mean, we just take a little thought here. We got to do some trimming. We got to get some things out. If we're going to grow spiritually, then we have to be on the lookout for things that would cause us to look like a bad hair day, spiritually speaking. We have to be on the lookout for malice. I can't allow that. I need to prune that out of my life. If there is something that causes me to feel malicious, that's what malice ends up being. If there's something that causes me to begin to feel malicious or kind of like slimy, like guile, then, Lord, help me. I need to cut that out. I need to avoid that. I need to shape my growth because, we can grow a habit of a little bit of hypocrisy if we're not careful. We can grow a little habit of being a little bit envious. It can sneak in on us. The devil wants to sneak in stuff, just like my oak tree that was growing in the middle of my bush down there, my lilac bush. The devil would like something to grow in our hearts and in our life that's not what God wants. It doesn't help our spiritual growth. I like oak trees. But I'm going to tell you, an oak tree in the middle of a lilac bush isn't very pretty. It's not attractive. I don't want that. I don't want envy to be in my life. I want something else to grow. So I want to cut the things out that the enemy tries to plant. I want to take that singleness of heart and apply it in my spiritual walk. He says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. A little baby is hungry a lot, and that's how they grow. And we need to be hungry for the right kind of things. Don't cultivate the envy. Don't cultivate the hypocrisy, the things that needs to be pruned and cut out. But Lord, help us to cultivate the things that will cause spiritual growth. It says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have got a taste of how good it is to have that relationship with the Lord, and how good it is to start growing and maturing in your walk with the Lord, we want our children to grow. I'm so happy for the little children, for the little babies. They're so cute when they get here, and when they learn to smile, and when they get their first teeth, and when they learn to crawl, and when they learn to walk, and when they learn to talk, and all those things. I love it all. But I don't want them to stay there. I want them to grow. I want them to get up where they can take on more and more responsibilities. I don't want them to be 14 years old and 36 inches tall. I don't want that. I want them to get taller. I want them to get more mature. I want our young children here to become young adults. I want young adults to become adults. I want them to start acting like that. I want us, spiritually speaking, not always just wanting a bottle. I want us to learn to grow up a little bit. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Well, we went from talking about milk to tasting that the Lord is gracious, and now we're talking about a living stone. How do we work that old? What is he talking about? This is not these words that he's using and how he's expressing himself is, there's details here that takes more maturity than a spiritual babe to understand. We go from talking about a baby wanting milk to talking about tasting and seeing that the Lord is gracious. Well, we're talking about tasting there. In that verse, we're talking about tasting of the Spirit and what the Spirit of the Lord provides for us. And then we go from that, in the fourth verse, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Matthew helped me pick up a few rocks this afternoon. And Matthew, was the rocks alive? Did they crawl around once we put them in the bucket? When he picked up the rocks and put them in the bucket, they just laid there. They're not alive. I've never fed a rock. Have you ever fed a rock? I've never seen a rock grow. They're just an inanimate object. But it said here, he's talking about you and I coming to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. What's he talking about? He's talking, we use stones for foundations, don't we? Concrete, big stone blocks, we put them down first, and then we build on top of that. And he says, to whom coming, as unto a living, we come to Christ that is gracious, loving, kind, And we want, we see that, and we want to be more like him. We want to grow. We want to cut off the things, the envy, the malice, the strife, all of the things that's not like the Lord. And we want to become more gracious, more loving, more kind, more peaceable, more like him. And we realize that to build our life on Christ is building our life on something that's solid and something foundation. But is Christ dead? No, he's not dead. He's alive. So this fourth verse, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. When we come to Christ, we are coming to a foundational stone or a foundational concept of spirituality that's not a dead thing. It's very much alive. Christ is alive. He wants us to be alive. He wants us to taste, to be attracted to the spiritual life that he has, the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, the graciousness that's in him. It says here, disallowed indeed of men. Who rejected Christ? The Jews did, didn't they? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they didn't want nothing to do with him. They said, crucify him. Disallowed indeed of men. That's what he's talking about. The Jewish rulers, the scribes and Pharisees, says we don't want nothing to do with him. He's not our king. That's what they said. But who chose him to be the foundational cornerstone of what we know as Christianity today? God did. God chose Christ to be the living stone that you and I can build on and grow. Just keep, try to hold on to these thoughts as we build a little more. He's not only chosen of God, but he's precious. A stone that's precious. I know all of you children have found a pretty rock, and it becomes kind of precious to you. But this is precious in a different sense. This is a living foundational principle of Christ. All right? And then he says, ye also, Paul is, or Peter is speaking here, and he's talking to people. And he says, ye also as lively stones. Are we a stone? He wants us to be. He wants us to be a lively stone. Have you ever drove by some of the old homes in Carthage that's made out of Carthage marble? You know what I'm talking about? The Phelps house. It's a house that's made out of native Carthage stone. And the walls are, you know, like this thick. And they're made out of cut marble that's stacked. Some, I think it's got mortar between the stones. They're not hollow concrete blocks. They're solid marble blocks. But he says here, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So the foundational cornerstone that's alive, that is, that's a living stone. You've got to start somewhere with a building. You've got to establish a corner, maybe four corners, and then you begin to build on that. And the other stones that you add to the cornerstone only increases the size and the stability of the structure. So he wants us to have spiritual growth where we're not just something that has to be fed milk to keep us alive, but we are a lively stone that can be part of the structure, part of He says here, a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, a house, not a house like a literal building. I'm very thankful for the literal building that we have, but it's a spiritual house made up of individuals that are alive, not dead people and our ancestry that live for God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about us being joined together because we're alive, because we're growing, because we're attached to that living cornerstone. He says, build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not the blood of bulls and goats. What are we offering as spiritual sacrifices? Pardon? Ourselves. We're offering up thing ourselves that we have pruned off, the stuff that he doesn't want us to have. It said in the first verse that we read, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings, we're going to trim those things off. We're going to quit those things. Those things that are unlike Christ, we're going to trim them off, and we're going to become in his image. That's part of growing. And we go from little babies to a living stone. I hope the figurative language somehow will click for us this evening. And we're making up a spiritual house, offering up a spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable. In verse 6 it says, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Who's he talking about? A chief cornerstone. That's that living stone, right? It's a living stone that he was talking about in verse 4. I want our, hopefully we're stretching our understanding this evening to gain some knowledge about what the scripture here is really talking about. Jesus Christ, I believe, is a living cornerstone established by God himself. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. What's he talking about? Jerusalem was also known as Mount Zion or Sion. But is he talking about literal Jerusalem that's over there with Iran shooting bombs at it right now? No, he's talking about that Jerusalem which is from above. You've heard me talk about that, I think. Hope you have. Hope you were here and listened. That spiritual Jerusalem that's from above is this Zion that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the spiritual Jerusalem and church. And we are to be living stones that build on the cornerstone. If you want to be a stone in the wall, you need to fit the cornerstone. You won't be exactly like the cornerstone. You know, you look at some of those stone houses, and if you got your tape measure out, I would imagine you would find that very few of them are exactly the same size. It's not like going to Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards and picking up the cinder blocks, we call them, concrete blocks. They're made to where with a mortar joint, they'll take up 8 inches by 16 inches, unless it's a different size, you know, a special size. But the typical concrete block size is, with a mortar joint, it's 8 by 16. 8 inches thick, 8 inches tall, 16 inches long. But those blocks and those stone houses, each stone is cut to fit the one next to it. The Lord wants us to be alive, a singleness of heart and willing to be shaped by Him and grow the way He wants us to grow, where we fit in this spiritual house. We're all connected to the cornerstone, but we ought to also want to be connected with one another. And I want us to collectively to make up a spiritual house. I'm talking about spiritual growth here. All right? Unto you, therefore, verse 7, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You know what's going to happen if we don't have a singleness of heart, if we aren't willing to allow the Lord to prune us and help us to grow the way He wants us to grow? We're going to find that trying to fit in the kingdom of God is going to be difficult. But when we surrender ourselves to allow the Lord to prune out the rudimentary things that are displeasing to Him, and we allow Him to cultivate us to grow, we'll find ourselves alive and fitting in the spiritual house and connecting to that spiritual cornerstone. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. The Lord has called us out of the kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light, to be a king and a priest. That's what our Sunday school lessons have been about this quarter. And He wants us to grow into a more mature king and priest in our own lives, in our own experience. I'll be real open and frank with you that before I really got busy trimming and cutting, I had some real erratic looking things in my yard. We turned into the driveway this afternoon after service, and my wife said to me, the yard looks really nice at being mowed and all trimmed up, right? Well, it was the whole picture. After I'd been working out there and cutting out the dead stuff and cutting off the stuff that made it look lopsided and look like it was kind of going wild and berserk, the Lord wants to trim us, to cultivate us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become more mature. He wants us to become a living stone, not just a superfluous piece of more or less nothing. He wants us to be a substantial part of His kingdom. That's true for every one of us here. As the children grow in their homes, we expect them to take on more responsibilities. And I want the children that's here to grow in the Lord too. That's why we want to teach them memory verses. That's why we have children's Sunday school. We want them to, as they grow physically, we want them to grow in their understanding of the Lord. We want to get them, I don't know much about airplanes, but did you know, as far as I know, I'm right on this, when you're flying in one of those big jets, while you're flying through the air, they suck the wheels up inside of them. You know that, right? And when they start coming down to land, when you're in the plane, it's a little bit alarming sometimes. You'll hear this. It sounds like a big hydraulic pump on it. It's whirring. And then all of a sudden you hear these things moving and you'll hear a clunk. And that's when the wheels come down. And they don't do that until they're getting, I don't know, maybe a few minutes out from landing. But the wheels come down and they're hanging there. And when they first come down, the wheels are just still. And you know how fast the airplane's going when it touches the runway? Anybody know? I've clocked it. I got an app on my phone that I can tell how fast we're going. Usually when you're takeoff, you become airborne somewhere around 150 to 170 miles an hour. And when you're touching down, that plane hits the runway at about 170 miles an hour. Now, that wheel was just still. You know what they do to keep from wearing the tires so bad? They got little motors in them that start spinning the wheels while they're up in the air. So when it comes down and it touches a runway, maybe the tire only goes from 80 to 150 instead of 0 to 150. You know why they do that? Don't wear the tires out near as fast. You know why we have Sunday school? You know why we want to teach our little children what the right way to live is? When they get big enough to look me in the eye, I want them to be able to know how to pick it up and take it on and go with it. I want them to grow. I want us all to grow. I want us, it doesn't matter what our age is, there's always room for growth. If you're not actively engaged in something, maybe the Lord's wanting to get your wheels spinning before you hit the runway, before you land on something, before he puts you into service. Maybe he wants you to get your landing gear down and your wheels spinning, so when you come to the point of contact, it's not such a dramatic thing. He wants you to get up to speed. He says here, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be significant in the world that we live in. He says, which in time past were not a people. If we roll back the clock a few years, or maybe a lot of years, and what would be the odds of us coming together and being able to fellowship one with another? Probably not very good. But it's the Lord that has worked in each one of our hearts here this evening that has caused us to grow in a manner where we can come together. We come here for one reason, right? We didn't come here with 14 different reasons. We came with one reason. We want to worship the Lord. We want His cause to be promoted. We want to grow. I hope all of us have a singleness of heart this evening, and we want to grow in a manner where we can be this chosen generation that Peter is writing about. In times past, we were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you're saved tonight, then you have obtained mercy through Jesus Christ. We've been saved by His blood. We've been delivered from the envy and the malice and all of those things. And if something starts to sprout, it's time to prune it off. I've got a little pear tree. It's about waist high at my house. And I've struggled for 20 years to get a pear that would give me one. And I still haven't got none. But I got one that's looking pretty good right now. But I noticed part of my trimming. I noticed that although my pear tree is looking pretty good, the rootstock down at the bottom has got these little sprouts coming out. I don't know what kind of rootstock they put underneath a pear tree that they grafted on. But I got out there and I cut off those little sprouts. I don't know. I don't want to let them grow. I don't want whatever is down there underneath the pear trunk. I don't want it to come out. I don't want it to manifest itself. As a Christian, I don't want envy to start sprouting back up. I want that to be cleansed out of my heart. I want to grow. I want to cut the things off that start looking like a reflection of the past. I want to diligently have a singleness of heart to where I'm growing in a purposeful direction. I'm letting Him shape me. If He wants me to be round, I'll be round by the grace of God. If He wants me to have a flat top, then I'll have a flat top by the grace of God. I want to grow into the shape that the Lord would have me, because I want to be able to fit in the place He wants to put me. He says here in verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Stay away from those things that would cause us to be deviate from a singleness of heart. He says, "Having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of visitation." When the Lord's presence is visited on people, when they realize there's a situation that only God could orchestrate, it's only God's mercy, maybe, that somebody's life was spared or somebody's home was spared because of a storm or a fire or whatever. They begin to look around and say, there's got to be somebody that still prays. There's somebody that's still serving the Lord, even if they're not. And I want them to be able to identify you and I that are growing with a singleness of heart. I want you to be challenged tonight. I trust that you will, that God can take the thoughts I've tried to express and challenge you to have a real deep-seated desire to grow in your walk with the Lord. Allow Him to point out those things that look like sprouts. I'm going to tell you, those little sprouts I cut off of my pear tree, they might have been 3 or 4 inches long. They just come up this spring. They weren't there last year. But I don't want them to be there this year. Maybe you've had victory against envy in the past. Maybe you've had victory in some area of your life for years. But you know the devil has ways of bringing things to the surface and wanting something to sprout. And when that happens, by the grace of God, let's cut them off. Let's surrender. Let's let the Lord shape us and prune us. Let's desire the milk of the Word. Let's diligently apply ourselves with a singleness of heart. Because I want us to be able to look back, whether we look back a few weeks, a few months, or maybe a year or two or three or whatever it is, I want us to be able to look back and say, you know, it may not have gained as much as the stock market, but I've gained. I want us to be in that position. I want us to look back and say, you know, by the grace of God, I am gaining ground. And the devil may want to perch on your shoulder and chirp in your ear and tell you all kinds of negative things, but I want us to assess, are we gaining ground? And if we're not, what does the Lord need to help us with where we can? Does the Lord need to, is he telling us to cut something off? Is He telling us to let something grow over here? Is He telling us to apply ourselves? Are we feeling kind of dead and we ought to be alive? Lord, help us to cultivate our spiritual walk with the Lord so we can grow. You pray for me. I want to grow too. I'm probably not going to ever be any taller. I want to be stronger in the Lord. So you pray for me.